Welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Ken Titions, editorial director of the Journal of Accountancy, and today we're going to discuss the Auditing Standards Board's new standard on auditor reporting. The recently issued standard is designed to increase the value and relevance of the auditor's report, as well as to converge the ASB's rules with those of the International Auditing and Assurance Standards Board. The standard takes effect for audits of financial statement periods ending on or after December 15th, 2020. We have two guests with us today to discuss the standard. Dan Montgomery is a member of the Auditing Standards Board and served a 40-year career with EY and was a partner in the firm's Global Professional Practice Group at the time of his retirement in December 2014. Rick Reisig is a CPA and shareholder at Anderson Zermulin, who provides audit and tax services for businesses, individuals, and corporations. He is a former ASB member and is also a member of the Private Company Council. Thank you both for joining us today. Before we get started, here's a word from our sponsor.
KPMG is committed to continuously identifying and implementing innovative approaches and tools to help deliver and enhance a quality audit. KPMG Audit, dedicated to trust, committed to quality. Visit audit.kpmg.us to learn more.
Dan, can you start by telling us why was this standard issued and what was the impetus for change?
Yeah, certainly, Ken. Actually, this started with academic research in the U.S. and globally. The results of that research indicated that users of financial statements, while clearly valuing the pass-fail nature of the auditor's opinion, thought that the rest of the standard auditor's report was boilerplate and not particularly informative or helpful. So there was a desire for greater transparency from the auditor, more information about what an audit is, for example, the nature of an audit and the auditor's responsibilities, and more about the areas of the audit that involved the most attention from the auditor. And that includes areas that involve the most complex or challenging judgments. That was a big driver for the International Standards Board to require the communication of what they refer to as key audit matters for listed entities and what the PCAOB is referring to as critical audit matters. So overall, the objective of the project was to increase the communicative value and relevance of the auditor's report. Now, where were these calls for change coming from? Actually, from several different stakeholders to the audit process. Principally, it was users of financial statements, including shareholders and prospective investors and lenders, but also regulators and those involved in corporate governance like audit committees. So the Auditing Standards Board began monitoring the developments related to the audit reporting model and the projects of the IAASB internationally and the PCAOB here in the U.S., and then undertook this project to revise the auditor's report for audits of non-issuers to converge with the IAASB's reporting standards.
Thanks, Dan. Rick, can you tell us about the major changes brought about by the standard?
Yeah, Ken. First, it does lengthen the report by including some additional paragraphs, and it does expand discussion in some of the existing paragraphs. We do know that this may cause some angst for some of us, but we hope after today's discussion regarding the changes and the reasons for the changes, as Dan just described, some of that angst will be alleviated. It adds some new sections to the auditor's report. One of those sections, though, is purely voluntary. It's the byproduct of an agreement between the entity and the auditor. That's the key audit matters or CAM paragraph that Dan just alluded to. That's a significant area of the new standard and one that caused a lot of comments back to the Auditing Standards Board in the exposure draft process. Again, it's optional. It's a voluntary add-on to the auditor's report. And it really is meant to be gleaned from the communications that auditors are required to have with those charged with governance. It's those areas that are so complex, so challenging judgmentally for the auditor, that it's an effort to provide that communication to the governing body. Again, totally voluntary. Now, the standard also supersedes three current audit sections, primarily due to the wording changes in the auditor's report. Of course, AUC 700, which is the nature of the standard, but also AUC 705 dealing with modifications to the auditor's opinion, and AUC 706 dealing with emphasis of a matter paragraph and other matter paragraphs were superseded as well with the issuance of this standard. And then lastly, it amends various other audit sections too.
Dan, does the standard require elements to be placed in the report in a particular order?
Well, the good news here, I think, is that the only requirements for placement are for the opinion to be presented first, followed by the basis for opinion section. And that's consistent with the way both the IAASB and the PCAOB have handled the ordering of the elements in the auditor's report. I mentioned earlier that it was clear that users value the auditor's opinion and the pass-fail nature of that opinion. So it made sense to require the opinion section to be presented first, and then it was logical for the basis for opinion section to be presented following that opinion. Beyond that, there aren't any requirements for the order of the remaining elements of the report. However, I will say that there's a certain logical flow to the sections of the report. So the final standard presents the requirements in the order of that logical flow, and the illustrative reports that auditors will see are consistent with that logical flow. I might also quickly mention that there are no requirements for the placement of emphasis of matter and other matter paragraphs. There is guidance indicating that the placement depends on the nature of the information to be communicated and the auditor's judgment about the relative significance of that information to intended users compared to the other required elements of the report. The illustrative reports in AUC section 706 will give an indication of where an emphasis of matter or other matter paragraph could be placed, but each report example then refers back to the guidance in the standard as a reminder about the use of auditor judgment in the circumstances.
Rick, there's a section called basis for opinion. What is in that section?
Well, some of the wording in that section comes from the current auditor's responsibilities paragraph. However, there's a couple of important concepts introduced in this particular section. Now, these aren't new concepts by any stretch, but concepts that had not previously been communicated within the body of the auditor's report. First, there's an affirmative statement of the auditor being required to be independent of the entity being audited. And secondly, there's reference to the auditor also requiring or required to adhere to other ethical responsibilities applicable to the audit. Now, those ethical responsibilities may be driven by several different sources. Obviously, the AICPA Code of Professional Conduct drives us. Could be government auditing standards or Yellow Book, depending on the audit that the auditor is conducting. Rules of state boards of accountancy certainly drive that, and other applicable regulatory agencies. Again, nothing new with those two additional concepts, but important for the user of the financial statements to know or at least be reminded of.
We're here on the Journal of Accountancy podcast with Dan Montgomery and Rick Reisig discussing the Auditing Standards Board's new standard on auditor reporting. Dan, there are new requirements relating to going concern. Can you explain what they are?
Yes, Ken, there are new reporting requirements relating to going concern. But to be clear, the revised auditor reporting standards don't change the performance requirements for going concern that are in AUC Section 570. However, there will now be more transparency in the auditor's report about the responsibilities of management and the auditor relating to going concern. So first, with respect to management's responsibilities, when management is required to do a going concern evaluation by the applicable financial reporting framework, whether that's US GAAP or IFRS or some other framework, then the standard now requires a description of management's responsibility for that evaluation using wording consistent with the going concern standard and identifying the time period to be covered specified in the financial reporting framework. And with respect to the auditor, the new report will, in all cases, include a description of the auditor's responsibility under AUC Section 570 to conclude whether, in the auditor's judgment, there are conditions or events considered in the aggregate that raise substantial doubt about the entity's ability to continue as a going concern for a reasonable period of time. And then finally, in situations where substantial doubt exists, the auditor's report will now include a separate section with the required heading, substantial doubt about the entity's ability to continue as a going concern. It seems like a change, but it really isn't, because the wording of that section is largely identical to the current required emphasis of matter paragraph. So it's mostly a matter of geography and, as I mentioned, the separate required section with a separate required heading.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Rick, let's talk about the time frame associated with the new standard. Can I use the new reports now? And when do I have to use the new reports?
No, that's an important point, Ken. Early implementation of this particular standard is not allowed. And if you think about it, it's important to have consistency in reporting format so users aren't confused. So all of us will use the same reporting format upon the effective date. Now, the effective date is for audits of financial statements for periods ending on or after December 15th, 2020. So really it'd be 2020 calendar year ends or 2021 fiscal year ends. So we have a little bit of time yet for us to plan for our auditors' reporting wording changes.
Great. Thanks, Rick. Dan, will the new and more informative auditor's report add significantly more time to the audit?
Well, Ken, I think overall the expectation is that the changes won't result in a great deal of additional time. But just like with any new standard, though, auditors may expect a small increase in the first year of implementation. Fundamentally, the changes are more about geography in the report. With one exception, the basic report elements haven't changed, but have been repositioned or expanded in some cases. The exception would be if the auditor is engaged to communicate key audit matters. As Rick mentioned earlier, the communication of key audit matters is not required, but if it was part of the terms of the engagement, there likely would be additional time involved to identify and describe those matters in the auditor's report, make sure that there was appropriate communication with management and those charged with governance. But that additional time would most likely be based on the nature of the entity and the complexity of the audit. In any event, there will be a new look and feel to the auditor's report, so it would be a good idea for auditors to start a dialogue early with management and audit committees or others charged with governance about what to expect with these changes to the auditor's report.
Rick, do the changes apply to all audits?
Well, all reports, with a couple of notable exceptions, at least at present. One, does not apply to reporting on audits of employee benefit plans, which are covered under a separate auditing standard. And two, does not apply to reporting on audits of financial statements prepared in accordance with a special purpose framework. So think cash, tax basis, regulatory basis, or contractual basis, at least not yet. Dan's actually leading a task force that's working with that section of the auditing standards right now.
Great, thank you. Dan Montgomery and Rick Reisig, thank you for joining us today on the podcast to discuss the new auditor reporting standard. Sounds like the standard will provide auditors with a great opportunity to communicate even more important information to users of financial statements, and I think that'll be a benefit to everyone. I'd also like to thank our listeners today and remind everyone that for more information on the topics and trends that are important to the accounting profession, you can visit journalofaccountancy.com or Podomatic.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.